cliffcentral.com.
All right, there's lots going on in the world. Donald Trump, apparently, there are new allegations of him being a sexual predator. Oh, yes, there's a lot to talk about. What can I say? Another day of being a human that's a little disappointing.
I noticed that Trump, when he's trying to defend himself, he always finds a way to bring the Clintons into it. Like, he can never just defend himself without bringing Bill into it.
Well, isn't that typical of so many people? When you say, if I say, Mabali, you were wrong yesterday when you did, you went, but Ben.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, but we weren't talking about Ben. No, but this is the point, right?
Yeah.
Humans are the best at deflecting. And if you're stupid enough, you'll get distracted by that. It's a very... it's an obvious tactic to try and deflect the attention from you onto someone else. And I love the way everybody thinks, if you do something bad, that may be terrible, but someone else might have done something worse, and therefore it justifies you doing something bad.
Yes, therefore you are exempt.
Yeah.
But don't you find how childish this whole thing has become?
Of course.
And again, it's like the floor of democracy. We are now plunged into a she said, he said, schoolyard rift between two kids you never want to be friends with.
Are you talking about Donald and Hillary or Praveen and Jacob?
Well, I try not to talk about Praveen and Jacob because it makes me angry. Well, this whole American thing is just it's a farce.
We've got to get into Praveen and the president because Praveen Gordon has been trying to drum up investment support and interest in South Africa. He was in America just last week, and one of the people who was with him is the MD of Goldman Sachs, and that is Colin Coleman, who's on the line this morning. Colin, thanks for making some time for us. I know you have... had a pretty incredible schedule over the last few days. And I know you've also, you've had some very close interactions with the investment community at large, particularly the one that you and the Minister of Finance visited in New York just the other day. But you must have been a little disconcerted to see the news 2 days ago when the NPA decided they are going to serve papers on the Minister of Finance and expect to see him in court just a couple of days after the medium-term budget. So where do we even begin with this, Colin? I mean, what's going on?
There's no question it was a blow that those events took place, but not necessarily a irretrievable situation. I would say, you know, our efforts on structural reform, which have been ongoing since the Finance Minister was appointed, December, beginning with the meetings with the president in January and February, and you know, from which came the business labor government initiative, has been a very solid ongoing attempt at driving such a reform on a joint basis. The rating agencies have been quite impressed with that, and obviously, I would say, you know, the noise around the democracy in South Africa is not necessarily always negative. It demonstrates a healthy democracy at work and the vibrancy of the institutions at work. But these attacks are quite disconcerting and don't help our case.
So, look, there are really two or three things I need to know before we can even proceed with this conversation. First of all, there's a supposition that any kind of instability makes everyone in the financial sector extremely jumpy. There are also some people who understand that these are the growing pains of a democracy where, you know, we're 22, 23 years into post-apartheid South Africa, and there are going to be some stretches and some contractions. But I don't think that everyone who you must have met in the last couple of days is full of negativity either. What kind of a reception did the minister get in New York, for example?
Now look, I think everywhere we go, the reception to what we're doing is extraordinarily positive. I also had private discussions with the rating agencies in New York. I would say, as of last week, prior to these events, we were in a very constructive place. I would say the you know, the efforts around rating really focused on growth and effectively eliminating or reducing obstacles to investment and effectively improving the investment climate through labor reform, SME reform, et cetera, state and enterprise reform. These are areas that are all helping our case and and being constructively received. You know, at the end of the day, what it all amounts to is, are we going to get our growth rate up? Are we going to, you know, have we come off the bottom? I would say there's a recognition that we've come off the bottom of our growth. Let's just put it in context. You know, this is a country that has been growing at sort of 3% average over the last 22 years. So when we're at 0 to 0.5% growth rate, we are shooting ourselves in the foot to get there. So, you know, in a normal situation, we should be around 3%. If we're doing revenue well, we should be 5% and above. So, you know, this growth rate is very far off the mark. And effectively, these kind of the reforms to get the basics right are recognized as, you know, ways to get back to 3% in a reasonable period. And I think it's perceived that we're off the bottom. So that's kind of where we are at the moment now. These interventions, which call into question, you know, the leadership of our financial institutions in the form of Minister Gordon, and he's widely respected and widely seen as an upright and honest person, you know, this sets people off balance.
Colin, what you're saying is actually quite positive. I mean, I'm excited to hear that you think that we're at the bottom of that growth slump. And what you're saying is that the growth rate really should. All the indicators are that, you know, if the fundamentals stay in place, that growth rate should improve, and that would solve a lot of our problems. So what are the inhibiting factors? What are the problem areas that we need to address in terms of why that growth is at such a low point, and how can we stimulate the economy, you know, ordinary people? How can ordinary South Africans get involved in stimulating that economy? It shouldn't just be up to high-powered delegations and the finance minister. Surely this is a concerted effort if we want to raise the economy.
Now, of course, everybody should make an effort at job creation, growth, and investment. Those are things that everybody out there have in their power to employ people, to put people to work, to build businesses. What we're doing is trying to remove the environment or the difficulties in the environment that make that more difficult. Hiring and firing people, you know, strikes, dealing with obstacles to creating small businesses, you know, trying to get people into work and give them real work experience. These are the sort of practical efforts that we're doing. So, you know, we are working on a labor package, which is being led by the Deputy President, to try and make the environment before strikes more conducive to avoiding them, to get early mediation, things like that. Mm. And at the same time, to fund smaller micro and make funding available for smaller micro enterprises, which is this fund that's been announced by led by Adrian Gore and Brian Joffe, $1.5 billion being raised by business. And Stephen Kotz and myself have been working on something called the Youth Employment Service Initiative, which is aimed at getting 1 million youth off the street into work experiences paid over the next 3 years. So there's very practical but also high-level support for people, as you say, public out there doing things better. I think your basic point is absolutely right, which is in a shrinking pie, you know, social tensions rise, the fees must fall situation rise, other tensions rise. In a growing economy, and there's a lot more to go around, there's a lot more to share, there's a lot more happiness in society. So that's what we need to see.
You mentioned that you met with the ratings agencies. These are, to many people, and particularly in South African politics, there seems to be a cynicism about these ratings agencies, almost as if they are agents of a kind of neo-colonialism. Certainly there are ideologues in government who believe that these are people who are holding us to ransom because they just don't like us or because they operate with Western principles. In effect, are these people dark, shadowy creatures that only people like Colin Coleman get to meet? Can you explain what the rating agencies are like on the inside?
I think it's like going to a doctor and asking the doctor or being sent to the doctor by an insurance company who wants to check you're okay, you know, and you go to the doctor and the doctor looks at you and gives you the facts back in an objective manner. That's what the rating agencies do for the international investment community in respect of country or issuers, what they call issuers. People are raising capital in the world.
Yeah.
So we've just raised $3 billion for South Africa, not us, but the country has raised $3 billion. And you know, when you're raising that kind of capital, the investors want to know what is the state of the economy into which that capital is going to go. And so the rating agencies are sort of meant to be an objective mediator of that view, and they have a very strict governance and regulation about how they behave, particularly post-global financial crisis. That's got ever stricter, as it has for the global financial community as a whole. And in that context, you know, the rating agencies have to be extraordinarily careful in their measurement and their objectivity of a variety of factors. What are the factors they look at? They look at growth, they look at institutional strength, and they look at broadly the factors affecting investment into a country. Mm. So as I say, growth is our single biggest issue. Our institutional strength is seen as very good, although these attacks represent a question mark over, you know, the long-term stability of those institutions, particularly the Reserve Bank and the National Treasury, as the sort of defenders, the first defenders of economic freedom and independence in South Africa. And you know, the investment cycle is affected by these factors.
Just one last thing. You had a lot of time with the finance minister. Is he very distracted by and concerned about these threats to his own personal security and the fact that he has to apply himself to, as if there isn't enough going on his plate, apply himself to criminal charges and investigations around fraud? Is he very beleaguered, or do you think that he's resolute and unconcerned, wishing to move forward?
I wouldn't speak on his behalf, but I give my observation. This is the most robust individual. He's gone through, as he says, 40 years of activism. He's dealt with much worse, including, you know, being in jail in the apartheid era, and, you know, personal attacks on his person in the form of solitary confinement, torture in prison, and so on and so forth. So I think right now this is a different world he's used to, but he's not a young person. I'm sure it's not pleasant for him to have to undergo this, but look, you know, he's a leader, and I've got great amount of confidence in his determination to stay the course.
Thank you very much for talking to us, Colin. I appreciate you making some time. There we go.
Pleasure, Gareth.
Thank you. Colin Coleman from Goldman Sachs. Sure. Actually, I feel better now. A little bit. And he says we hit the bottom of the growth slump. Now we can only start going up. We've hit rock bottom, and we're going to stop digging.
Yeah, well,
let those words be true, please.
The question is how long that going back up is going to take.
And we do have to look at all these great programs, like Colin mentioned, the one that Adrian Gore and Brian Joffe have launched, where they're going to try and stimulate employment, and they're going to try and stimulate growth in the economy. These are the private sector companies stepping in to try and fix the problems that have been created by government. They won't say it's I will. That's what it is. And good for them. You know, a lot of times big corporations and rich individuals get targeted and people say, oh, well, they're not doing enough. They're just greedy. Look at what's happening here. These guys are stepping in where really it should be a situation the government is concerned with creating employment. And they're not. The government don't know how to create employment because they don't know how to stimulate small business, let alone larger businesses. And then it takes these guys to get stuck in and involved. Anyway, interesting conversation. I thought that we needed to hear from someone who, again, knows more than we do. And that's precisely why Colin Coleman's the right guy to talk to. He just spent a whole lot of time with the finance minister. And he went into the ratings agencies, Mubs. Those scary unknowns that everybody seems to think are just trying to push us down.
Sabotage us.
Right. As he said, it's like going to the doctor. Okay, any other comments and questions? We'll take your calls. You know what to do. 0861-555-189. We'll get into some news next. This is a very cool song. I love it. All right, we'll take your calls. 0861-555-189. Mubs is standing by to give us a whole lot of info, but let's go to Linda. Hey, Linda, what's up?
Hi, Gareth.
Hey, what's happening, man?
Man, I am all kinds of, like, stressed with public protesters reports coming out today and our president rushing in to put in that court interdict. Yep. I think the only way that this thing, how this thing is going to play out if something like this, that's going to happen to Moussa Gaddafi, when we haul Jacob Zuma out of office. Because seriously, there's just too much damning evidence against him, and he's trying to like scrape and save himself and milk the country out of everything that we currently have.
You know, I think you're right. I mean, I seriously hope we don't end up in a Gaddafi-type situation, because I would like to think we're more civilized and more evolved than, you know, that clusterfuck that became Libya post and just pre the end of Gaddafi. I don't know, though, dude. I mean, do you think that he... It seems to me like the president... Let me read something quickly. One of my friends, I'm going to keep them anonymous on Facebook, just posted this, and they said that basically they think that we're on a flight, and that it seems to him that this flight just doesn't have a captain, and it's like
that's true.
Nobody's in charge. Like, the president's so busy worrying about his own stuff that the rest of the country's just in free fall. You do whatever you want, basically, at the moment.
I mean, running the country,
right? The NPA are so distracted. Let's all just go and steal a TV. Because nobody's going to arrest us. There's no NPA to pay attention to what we're doing right now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's just getting worse and worse. We've got Pravin getting charged. I mean, who charges the Treasury? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Here's what he said. He said, "So I gather that the president has served the public protector with a notice that seeks to interdict her office, a Chapter 9 institution, from executing its duties. Does the president's oath of office not require him to protect the functioning of these institutions? This flight is on autopilot, and the pilot left the cockpit long ago." That's what he said.
What are we South Africans supposed to do? How do we make a change?
Well, this is what I was asking 2 days ago already, because I don't know what we're entitled legally to do. Because I don't want to do anything illegal. I like to think of myself as a law-abiding citizen.
Most times.
Yeah. So what can we do?
A petition. We need to petition our president.
Please. Do you think he's going to listen to a petition? Huh?
I don't have even the words to explain. I don't know.
I don't know if you've noticed, but there isn't a lot of noise around support for the president right now.
Exactly.
Usually on Twitter, you'd see a couple of lunatics, you know, like Jimmy Money or whatever, saying, "Oh well, the public protector needs to be put in her place," or Julius Malema should shut up, and you know, everybody who's against the president gets attacked. But at the moment, there's none of that. So it's like a desert. There's a tumbleweed rolling through Zuma Town at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a matter of making everybody aware that we're heading for a downfall. The Fitch and Moody's rating is on our doorstep, and
S&P.
After they rate us, South Africa is basically in recession. So we need to do something.
Even if
the position is something small, but at least we are doing something.
Dude, I hear you. I feel exactly the same way. I wish I had answers for you, but I don't. I'm just as useless as you are. All right.
No, I get you guys.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
All right. Cool. There we go. Linda. All right, Mubs, what's going on? What do we need to look at that isn't already on the plate?
Okay, so our tertiary institutions in this country are suffering a little bit, or maybe a lot. And so maybe you want to consider an alternative if, you know, you thinking, well, the university situation here at home is a bit problematic. So then how about considering signing up for porn university?
Oh, this is good.
Because a pornography actor is doing exactly that. He is opening up a porn university for aspiring adult film performers.
Well, it's about time.
He's an Italian porn star, of course.
Mm-hmm. What's his name?
His name is Rocco Siffredi.
Oh, Rocco Siffredi. Oh, he's like the most famous old porn. He's a horrible-looking old porn star.
Like the Robert De Niro of porn stars.
He is nicknamed the Italian Stallion.
Gross. The original one.
Gross. Oh, yeah.
Gross. And he is going to start an academy that teaches aspiring adult film actors and actresses the tricks of the trade. He is also going to be documenting his training in a reality show called Università del Porno. It will air in Italy, and then hopefully you can watch bits of it on YouTube. I don't know. Classes will be in session on the set of Siffredi Hard Academy, in which the porn veteran will instruct a group of 21 hopefuls on different techniques and tactics on how to be a believable porn actor on screen. This is my question. Do you think you could be a believable porn actor? Believable being the operative word.
It's not acting, first of all.
Well, Rocco Siffredi will have you know that it is, Gareth.
No, please.
That is why he's opening a whole university to train these people.
Your university is going to spend no time acting. Please, teaching people acting classes. What for? No one watches porn for the acting. I've seen a fair amount of this stuff in my life, and none of it has been acted. I never watch it and go, well, that's definitely up for an Oscar this year. That's an amazing performance. It's so bad. The woman goes to the door, right? And she answers the door, and she's in a negligee or whatever, and then there's the pool boy at the door, and she goes,
oh, hi, are you here to clean the pool?
And he goes, yeah, I am here, the pool to clean. And she goes,
oh, it's round the back.
And she bends over, and then he takes her. There's no acting. Do me a favor. Have you ever seen good acting? Flax, you've seen a lot of porn. Have you ever seen acting and thought, wow, that was really good acting for a porno?
I haven't seen a lot of porn.
Oh, come on.
I've never really critiqued it on the acting.
Yeah, well, exactly, because there's nothing to critique.
But I do know you get paid a lot. I recently came across the 2016 figures.
Yeah?
So it starts off...
Is this in America or is this here?
This would be in dollars.
Okay, let's go.
So it starts off with a nude solo.
Nude solo.
You make $340.
Hmm.
Now, there's a difference between a nude solo and an open leg solo.
But hang on. This is obviously for women because men will be paid a whole lot less. Definitely.
I don't know. It
definitely.
No, men get paid like a six pack.
Yeah, men get paid
nothing.
$5,000 on every $100.
Yes, this is women because
exactly.
Because it does say insertion solo later on in the game.
Okay, right. Okay, so let's go. So you got open leg solo, yeah?
So open leg solo, you're taking roughly $408.
By the way, everybody should listen very carefully to this because these are the only jobs that will be available to the Fees Must Fall students post next year.
Insertion solo, you'll get about $612.
Mm-hmm.
A girl on girl, you'll get $1,020.
That's a big ticket item.
But this I don't understand. For girl on girl and girl on boy, it's the same going rate.
Well, it's actual sex.
I think girl on boy should be more.
You think so?
There's more effort involved, I'd say.
You know what, Flax? You should become an agent for porn stars. I don't think there is such a thing. Do you think
of course
that
they are. Agents? Of course there's agents.
Yeah, there must be.
And they deal especially with porn stars?
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't have an agent who's got Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt on his books, but he's also got Rocco Siffredi on his books, no?
Hmm.
Oh, he's got Cockpit in his books as well.
But Gareth, wow.
The thing about acting is, and you're being a bit harsh here.
Okay.
I think porn's about composure. Anyone can act and talk about stuff, but you need to be composed.
I'll tell you something.
I think this is why Rocco's University definitely has a place.
Also, I imagine, I mean, you know, there are tons and tons of porn clips out there in the world. What distinguishes one clip from another in terms of, you know,
quality?
One clip gets you aroused, whereas another you kind of pass by it and you're like,
And you laugh.
So what is... As Claudia Mutsoneng would say, what is that thing? That thing that makes one clip really get you excited versus one that completely bores you to death?
Mm-hmm. I think
good acting.
When it comes to
good
porn,
acting.
Yeah.
Creativity plays a large part, because otherwise it's just standardized beginning, middle, end. But you want a bit of a mixture once you've come from...
once you've come.
Become familiar with the opening act and the closing act.
Yeah, you're right.
Also, yeah, creativity and also skill. You know, some actors you watch and they look like they could really... Like, they look like they really understand how to turn a body on, which then turns you on as the person watching it.
Donald Trump, what do you think the most essential ingredient is in good porn?
Grab him by the pussy.
Right. Well, that's exactly what Rusty says. I know how to obtain a boner and grab a pussy. I believe that will get me scholarship to the university.
Well, see, that's what you say, but that's just like the start of the match, right? You've then got to go and get stuff done. Yeah. So the university will teach you composure and how you get these things, how you structure your performance.
Yeah.
Ben made a good point just now. Like, composure is part of it, but also confidence. Like, you and I and everybody else in the world, we have sex privately, right? So we don't know how we'd look on camera.
And drunk.
Usually drunk.
How many single people have sober sex?
Very few. I mean, how many married people... To face each other when you've been together for years without being drunk is difficult, especially naked. So we don't understand the pressures of having lighting and sound and cameras and a director telling you to go faster or slower. I mean, it must be very, very off-putting.
Can you imagine some, like, grip, or whatever the guy, call the guy with the cords and stuff?
He's just, grip!
He's like, scratching his
best
balls.
Boy.
He's, like, scratching his balls. He's on Twitter on his phone. He's going... Right. And there's you going, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And this guy's like 5 meters away from you while he rummages through his chips.
And also, let's not forget that these actors aren't necessarily enjoying the sex throughout the entire filming process. You know, it extends over hours. You get tired. You get bored. But then you still have to fake it and make it look like you're enjoying it.
Especially
no, you're not.
No, the
you're
women
not.
The women are definitely not enjoying
no,
it.
No, they have to fake the whole thing.
And it
woman,
goes on so long, right?
Yeah, it goes on long. Like, you get bored and you get tired and you get distracted and you're like, oh, when is this ending?
You think about the money.
Yeah.
This university thing is going to be huge. They'll have one in every country by like 2020.
Right.
Michael, they will, provided there's an industry for it. So
Trump
point
will
having
fund
you-
it.
Yeah, but you need a bigger industry. So you can't go to university. There's no film industry in your country. It's like if you... I mean, we had that guy in for porn the other day here. I mean, you're getting paid like 2,000 rand a movie.
Yeah, but he's a loser. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but like...
You know, the South African porn industry can't support a whole lot of people.
Exactly. So then you're not going to go spend 20 grand on a degree.
Like the guy who's done the best in the porn industry in South Africa probably can't afford his rent. You know, and he's like the top of the pile. I don't think that there's money in this country for it. But if you wanted to go big and you wanted to go to Rocco's University, you may be onto something.
But like in America, you have porn competitions where you make your own porno by yourself with like your friends and stuff. And you submit it to a website. And if you win like a porno of the month, you get $10,000. And you split that with your friends.
Wow. Well, that's something
you
to think
about.
With your
friends.
Yeah, I think this is a great idea. And for all those Fees Must Fall students, I've got great news for you. If you can't get into UCT or WITS, or you can't decolonize education there fast enough, then your next best bet is to become a porn star at Rocco Zaffredi's Porn University. In fact, that's your only hope for employment, full stop.
Don't you mean so decolonize porn?
Yeah. Get out there and join up with his university. Let's see how well your protests get you going there. What else is in the news?
Well, it's 7:30, so it's time for headlines.
Look at that. Oh, how quick. Did we talk about that for a whole 15 minutes?
It's porn. It'll do that to you.
How embarrassing. See how easily distracted we are? We were talking about sensible stuff like Pravin Gordhan and Tuli Madonsela and Julius Malema before that, and then suddenly we found ourselves completely distracted by the porn. All right, Mubs, what's going on in the news? What do we need to know?
So... let you in on the president's weekend plans. Why are you laughing?
Well, Because I can't imagine the president's doing anything constructive. What is he doing this weekend? Tell us.
President Jacob Zuma will be traveling to Goa in India this weekend, Gareth. He is attending a BRICS summit. It is the 8th summit of the BRICS economic bloc. And this year's theme is building responsive, inclusive, and collective solutions. I don't really know.
I've withdrawn my fingers. As you can see, my hand ahead, yeah.
What a waste of time.
Geez, it sounds like an absolutely boring event to have to attend, really.
Anything to not be here and have to listen to how we all hate him.
On the agenda for the weekend will be issues including terrorism, democratization of the UN and institutions such as the IMF. Minister of Trade and Industry Rob Davies is also part of the advance party to New Delhi for the BRICS trade fair. So I can hear all you people criticizing the president for, you know, not being around when it matters most. Well, I will have you know the president has a serious agenda and he will be in India this weekend.
Right.
So you take that.
Right. Why should he be worrying about the finance minister or the public protectors report or state capture when he can go over to India and talk about the IMF?
Mm-hmm.
Good move.
And then in international news, the king of Thailand has died, and this has sent the entire nation into a state of mourning. Thailand has also heightened security amid funeral preparations for King Bhumibol Adulyadej.
Yes.
He was a revered figure who helped unify the nation in his 70-year reign.
Wow, that's nice.
That's nice and long.
Here's the news report. So she's a very emotional.
Right, I'm going to try this and it's not going to be easy.
No. People in Thailand have been very emotional, Gareth. Yeah. Hundreds of them had gathered for days at Bangkok's Sirirach Hospital, where the king was being treated. And when the news finally broke that he had passed, you could see scenes of people throwing themselves on the ground, crying. You know, it's people have been very emotional.
Here is one of those, one of the Thai people they found outside of the hospital.
I know that so well. I'm choking up. Oh. Look, I'll come back in a moment. I got all choked up.
He was 88 years old, and he ascended to the throne 70 years ago, which made him the world's longest reigning monarch before his death. Thailand will now observe a period of mourning. It begins today. It will involve all government buildings flying the Thai flag at half-mast for 30 days. Civil servants have been ordered to wear black clothing for the next year as a sign of mourning.
The whole year?
Yes, the whole 364 days and a quarter. What's your problem? And the Crown Prince, Maha... Maha Vajiralongkorn. He is the king's appointed successor.
Longhorn?
Longkorn.
Oh, Longkorn. Wow, that's the prince's name? Prince Longkorn?
Maha Vajiralongkorn.
Prince Longkorn. That's a cool name. That should be a cartoon strip or something. All right, let's get into some sport with Ben. Let's see what's going on the playing field and what we can look forward to this weekend, among other things. Right, Ben?
A serial dickhead Nick Kyrgios has got a new fine, $16,500, for just not trying at the Shanghai Masters. So he's been fined 10,000 rand for lack of best efforts.
What makes him a serial dickhead? I mean, what's he...
When is this guy never in trouble? I mean, he's either saying... Like, he was the guy who told... Wawrinka, that Cocky Knuckles was banging his girlfriend.
Oh,
this is the guy that just decides to, like, not
Cocky
play
Knuckles
when he doesn't want to.
Yeah.
You know, he won last week and he's like, yeah, I was so bored when I won.
Oh,
like, he's just such a dick.
Okay.
So now in the Shanghai Masters, he just didn't care. And then he got into a fight with a spectator because the spectators were like booing him, saying, dude, you know, we're here to watch you. And now you're just hitting the ball with the net on purpose. And he's like, well, if you're so good, why aren't you a tennis pro? He's such a child. He really is. Just such a... Oh, this guy.
He's basically proving that professional tennis can be messed with. All on his own.
Yeah, he's an absolute joke. Pakistan doing really well in the first day of their day-night test. The first day-night test, second one of all time. 279 for one after day one. West Indies, well, I mean, look, they've got Jason Holder. I think he's their best player. They've got a couple of batsmen. Otherwise, this is like a no-name brand team, which is a big shame because the best T20, well, the best West Indies talent obviously just plays T20s.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be very one-sided. Curry Cup action of the weekend, Cheetahs versus the Lions. That'll be at 3 o'clock. And then Western Province will take on the Bulls at Loftus at 6 o'clock. Very, very big weekend of rugby there because the Curry Cup still means something in the semi-finals and the final. Zamalek will fly down, or they're probably here already, and they take on Sundowns for the CAF Champions League first leg of the final. It's going to be a massive game. 3 o'clock on Saturday, you can watch that. There's PSL action, not too many big games there. Probably Kaizer Chiefs versus Ajax on Saturday at 6, that's your big one. But in the English Premier League, we've got Chelsea versus Leicester, 1:30 on Saturday. West Brom will take on Spurs at 4, Man City versus Everton at 4, Arsenal versus embattled Swansea at 4, and then the big one for the round of the weekend's fixtures here will be Liverpool versus Man United, but it'll be on Monday night, 9 o'clock.
All right.
That's pretty much it for all the big sporting attractions. Look out for the British Masters on the golf front. Richard Stoney's tied to the lead after round one there. Big superstar feel for the European Tour, that one, as they're getting close to the race to Dubai, which is the big money finale for the season.
Very exciting. Thank you, Ben. There's a look at your sports.
Do you want to be the next First Lady of the Touchdown? Touch Central is looking for the First Lady of the Touchdown. Simply download the Touch Central app. Send us a message through the Touch Central app. And listen in every day between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. Monday to Friday from the 4th of October till the 4th of November 2016. For more T's and C's, go to the Touch Central website. TouchCentral.fm.
What are the most critical requirements for companies in today's business environment? Well, communications and technology, of course. And who better to deliver this to you than iConnect Telecoms? From internet connectivity to voice and cloud platforms and the latest IT solutions and more. iConnect ensures maximum uptime and productivity with more reliable connectivity and the necessary support and backup that we all need. Don't think you don't need it, by the way. You're sitting there in your office all smug. Wait till your internet goes down, then you'll wish you had iConnect. iConnect is the answer, all delivered by a single solution provider. Go to iConnectSA.co.za for more information. That's iConnectSA.co.za. People forget the SA, but it's important. Put it in there. iConnectSA.co.za. The one provider to manage all your communications. Good morning, everybody. It's Friday. It's the weekend, baby! I tried to warn you just to stay away. You're not convinced. It is. It's Friday, goddammit. Hey. Lots to be happy about today. All right. We can do some calls. We can mess around with a couple of messages. We'll get some emails to get through, but... Flax went yesterday to do something. First of all, I had no idea you could get to the age of, how old are you again? 24?
24.
And never have changed a plug?
No.
Ever?
Never changed a plug in my life.
I must have changed my first plug at somewhere around 16. And I was very nervous that I would put the wrong wire into the wrong thing and then blow up the whole house.
What do you mean? I mean, why are you saying it as if changing a plug is like standard initiation into manhood?
Everybody should know how to change a plug.
Plugs and tires. If you're a guy and you can't change them.
As a guy, it's a matter of pride. There is no man in the world. You cannot call yourself a man if you have not changed a plug.
Oh, okay. So you guys don't phone AA when you're stuck on the side of the road with a flat tire.
I change a tire.
Okay.
I got a spare in my boot. It's a shitty little biscuits spare, but it's there.
Right.
I know what to do. You're not a man if you can't change a plug. You're a big old... You got to be grabbed by the pussy by Donald Trump if you can't change a plug.
Oh, that's beautiful, Gareth.
Yeah, I know. I might as well climb in, you know? Donald Trump's already disgraced us all. I might as well take it up and own it. So, what happened?
Not only did I change a plug, I converted a 2-pin plug into a 3-pin plug.
You're...
I'm still pretty convinced I did something wrong because the copper wires inside are touching. And I'm not sure if they're supposed to be.
Is your house not already burnt down?
No, the thing works fine. I'm just scared that one day I'm going to put it on and kaboom.
All right. Did you just guess what you were doing, or did you look it up on the internet, or did you phone someone, or what did you do?
So Suzelle's got a DIY thing on YouTube.
Suzelle DIY.
And one of her things is how to change a plug.
That is fantastic.
And it honestly, in 3 minutes, she told me everything I needed to know.
So you sought the advice, dare I say, of a woman
yes.
to learn how to change a plug.
Right.
I love it.
Let's listen to Suzelle. I want to hear what Flex
was. How to change a two-prong plug into a three-prong plug, because we all know that these two-prong plugs can be a bit irritating, especially this kind that is a circle. You will need a three-prong plug, a pliers, in a Phillips, which is a screwdriver in the shape of a star. Cut off the two-prong plug, strip it. Be careful not to go all the way through. Now we're going to pull it off. Strip the ends of these.
This is what you were doing?
I'm going to remember which color should go where. Well, I have a trick in my sleeve that will help you remember every time. Brown, BR, bottom right, also BR. Blue, BL, bottom left, also BL. Just a little golden one.
Mubs, I have a feeling after this you'll be able to do it too. You've never changed a plug, have you?
No.
Two-prong plug into a three-prong plug.
I've never done two to three.
Well, now, see how easy it is? Brown is for bottom
right.
Blue is for bottom left. Very good.
Tight. Put the black part through this little gate. There's it. Close it. And plug it in. DIY, because anybody can. We'll talk.
All right, there's Suzelle.
How straightforward is that?
Yeah, it's very easy, right?
That I'm getting all my DIY advice from Suzelle now.
Yeah, no, you should. She knows what she's talking about.
Lots of people are. She's great.
Yeah.
We should get her in again. When is she here? I see her mug is up there, the mug that she gave us last time.
That wasn't the only DIY I got up to yesterday.
What else?
So a couple days ago, I stumbled upon Real Talk with Anele on SABC3, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So I thought, let me splurge on myself a bit and hook my TV up, get SABC 1, 2, 3, and E, and see what channels I can get.
You never had those before?
No.
Oh, you just had DSTV?
Yeah, and now I refuse to get DSTV.
No, man, those channels are part of DSTV.
Exactly.
How did you not have them before?
I had them on DSTV.
Oh, but you wanted to have...
I'm talking about on my TV now.
Oh, okay.
So I went out to the shops and I got one of those white cords
yes.
that you plug into the TV and then you plug into the... The wall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you get like an aerial signal or something like that.
Yes.
So, stop. Just stop right here. So you are trying to decolonize DSTV by reinventing how you get SABC.
Yes. Flex is going old school.
It is one of the most complicated processes ever.
But you already had these channels, which makes this completely redundant.
Yeah, but I don't have DSTV.
Oh, you don't?
I don't have DSTV. Because I'm living with my girlfriend and we think it's a waste of money.
It is.
It is.
Very good.
Oh, so you had no live TV at all?
Nothing. Nada.
So what did you even use your TV for?
PlayStation, or I'd connect the computer to it. But now I want to watch Anele's Real Talk.
Okay.
Okay. So first of all, now switch the TV on. I've got to search for a frequency.
Yes.
Once I've got the frequency, then I've got to fine-tune the frequency.
Yeah.
And then after fine-tuning the frequency to the best thing I can, it's still like grainy, or I've got lines coming down the screen.
Then I'd love to see you doing this.
I'm fiddling with the wire at the back, because now apparently if you push the wire in harder, you get better reception and shit like that. And then once I've got this all sorted and I've programmed my channel, that SABC 1 on channel 2, then I'm like, okay, cool.
Right.
Let me now see what's on. You can't see what's on. It doesn't tell you what's on. Like, you can't push a menu button or anything like that.
No, Flex. No. That's an unfortunate problem with... You know this whole thing that we were talking about the other day with Shapshack about the digitization of analog TV? That's what it means.
So
it becomes digital, so you don't have to rely on that analog cable that you plugged in.
So I've come to terms, like, I might have to go to, like, Home Affairs or something to get a TV
home
guide
affairs,
or something.
Not Home Affairs. Please. Home Affairs has got nothing to do with your home.
And then I wanted to watch the news. I thought, okay, let me get updated on the news. I turn to the news channel. I've either got to learn sign language or a new new language to understand the news. I sent a voice note to Kat to like try and figure out what language it is. She couldn't even figure it out.
Have you got that voice note?
Yeah.
Please, I need to hear this. Bring it here. Plug your phone
goodness.
In. That sounds hysterical.
There's always at least one interesting day in the life of Flex.
Every day is interesting. The whole world is so full of excitement.
Yeah,
and
it really is.
Novelty.
I mean, I like that, actually.
Yeah, plug that phone in. Let me hear what you sent to Kat. This is so hysterical. So, obviously the news wasn't in English. So
no, said, it must have been in...
It probably wasn't even a language that Kat speaks as her first language. You know, it might have been the...
Oh, wait,
the Tonga news, for all we know, right?
Well, I mean, it's one of the many languages that we have.
Okay, you don't have it. All right, don't worry. Okay,
but I'm actually working with Kat at the moment, getting a TV guide together. What's good to watch when?
So you're gonna watch this, even though it's grainy and terrible.
I've got no other options. Okay. I thought like plug it in, you're gonna get HD, SABC 1, 2, 3. Watch Real Talk with Anele. That's all I want to do.
I've heard about this show, Anele's. I haven't watched it.
They ask. They also upload episodes onto YouTube, Flex.
Okay.
So.
Well, there we go. There's your problem
there
solved.
There is that option as well. Listen, Anele is in New York, and she interviewed DJ Zintle. So, I mean,
nice.
They do the whole interview in New York, which is sounds pretty exciting.
I saw Zintle on the lineup for next week. Is that right?
Yeah, when she gets back. I don't think it's next week. I think it's the week after that. Okay. We're just waiting for her to get back from her trip.
All right, very
nice. We must ask her about her new man.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in her life.
I heard he's the hottest thing walking on the streets of Joburg.
Oh, really?
I saw his abs before I saw his face.
While we're looking at what's coming up, let's just give you a little forecast. So today, Danny Kay and Cabello in to talk to us. I love these two, and they're going to update us on what's been going on in their lives. Both of them are busy with 100 other things. You know, they used to just be singers. It was easy to talk to them. You could just talk to them about music, and it was done. Now, they run sweet shops. They're doing burger promotions. They've got Shout. These two are so busy, I don't even know whether they have time for their families. And they've both got families. I feel like such an underachiever. Nontle Tema's coming in next week.
Okay.
That'll be fun. And Helen Zilla. We're going to have an interview with Helen Zilla on the 26th or so about her new book.
That voice.
That's how she... Isn't that how she sounds?
I don't know. We'll find out.
I'm pretty sure that's how she sounds. No? So plenty of good stuff in the next couple of days to keep you entertained and informed. It's 6 minutes to 8. Your calls, 0861-555-189. Tell us what's up. Tell us what you're up to. Tell us what your plans are for the weekend.
Do you want to be the next first lady of the touchdown? Touch Central is looking for the first lady of the touchdown. Simply download the Touch Central app. Send us a message through the Touch Central app. And listen in every day between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. Monday to Friday from the 4th of October till the 4th of November 2016. For more T's and C's, go to the Touch Central website. TouchCentral.fm.
CliffCentral.com.